You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org. Here's Pastor Greg Mott.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John 14. We started a series last week called Pneumatology. So you learned a new vocabulary word last week. And pneumatology is the study of the Holy Spirit, the branch of theology concerned with the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned to you that I took pneumatology in seminary, and I didn't have a clue what I was getting into. And then all of a sudden, I was in this class about the Holy Spirit. And it was a great class, and it was good, but it's something that we need to know as well. Now, pneuma is the word for air or breath or spirit. So you get pneumatic tools, tools that operate on air, pneumonia, your lungs have a problem. Then pneumatology, and then tology would be the study of. So theology is the study of God. Christology is the study of Christ. Pneumatology is the study of the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand the Holy Spirit because most of us have a lopsided Trinity. We got two out of three typically on the Trinity. We either really like the Spirit and really like the Son, but we're not too sure about the Father. We really like the Father, we really like the Son, but we're not too sure about the Spirit. That's where most of us fall into. So we use words like this that show our lopsidedness. We say, it was really thick, it was really moving, and the Holy Spirit becomes the cousin it of the Trinity. Instead of being a person of the Trinity, instead of being the Trinity, one of the three, God in three persons, we have God the Father, we got that, God the Son, and then this kind of Casper the Friendly Ghost over here that we're not real sure how this all works out. And we've got to have a balanced Trinity. We've got to have a balanced view of who God is. And so last week, we just dug in that in the Old Testament, the word for Spirit is Ruah, R-U-A-H, Ruah. And the Ruah, the Spirit of God, would come upon somebody, a special person for a special time, for a special purpose. So he would come upon somebody and they would write the scriptures. He'd come upon somebody and they would declare and prophesy or preach a sermon type of deal. Give words about what God was going to do. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it says that men spoke from God, carried along by the Holy Spirit. When it was talking about the Old Testament, them reading the scripture. So the Holy Spirit would come for a time, and it would be there for a time, and then he would kind of go away. His presence everywhere, but he would just kind of go away. But then when we got to the New Testament, we ended up with a huge difference. That in John 14, that the Holy Spirit would live inside of us. We would not be left as orphans. He would live inside of us. Jesus Christ would go to heaven, ascend to heaven, and the Holy Spirit would live inside of us forever. Never to be removed, never to be taken away. You can never lose your salvation. He seals you. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete, is the Greek word they use. P-A-R-A-C-L-E-T-E, paraclete. One who walks alongside of, a paramedic goes alongside of a doctor. A paralegal goes alongside of a lawyer. A paraclete goes alongside of you and alongside of me by living in our hearts. It's the Spirit of Christ in us. It's the Spirit of God the Father in us. It is the Holy Spirit in us. And the Celtic Christians would call him the honking goose. That he was a wild goose. Yes, we see in the scriptures that he's a cooing dove, a wonderful sweet dove that lights onto Jesus' shoulder, so to speak. It says that he was like a dove. But the Celtic Christians of the 400s in kind of Ireland and Great Britain, they said, no, he's a wild goose because you can't contain a goose. You can't hold a goose. Goose fly, geese fly, they honk. They're a little bit dangerous feeling. They're different, and that's the Holy Spirit, how he works. And we're going to see this morning in John chapter 14, verse 22, we're going to see just two things about him. Few things in these two categories, but two main categories. So the words for today, I want you to say it with me, whether you're in the chapel, downtown, or right here in the worship center, I want you to say these three words, but they're really kind of two main words. Here's what we're going to say. Love and remember. Okay, you ready? Here we go together. Love and remember. Downtown in the chapel, say it too. Here we go. Love and remember. That's going to be the theme of what we're getting with the Holy Spirit here. Now look in you as you see in your Bibles. In John chapter 14, verse 22. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot. Now, don't you know that aggravated the other Judas? The rest of your life, you have to say, Judas, but my son is not Judas Iscariot. It's not the same one. So that's why you don't know anybody named Judas. This was the last other guy named Judas at this point. He's it. So here we got Judas, not Judas Iscariot. But the Lord said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Because he's talking about the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. And Judas, but not Judas Iscariot, still thinks it's going to be this political takeover of Jesus. So why are you just going to show us? Why aren't you going to tell everybody? Jesus replied, verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. We've heard that before, haven't we? My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All of this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said. The first part of that, 22 through 24, is talking about something we've seen before in verse 15 and in verse 21. Then we see it again in verse 23. So he's trying to drive home this point. If you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you will obey me. Love births obedience. Love births obedience. Now this is a great word for us, because we think that diligence births obedience. We think that willpower births obedience. We think that a personality type births obedience. That somehow if I can muster up the strength, if I can get the right personality, if I can be type A or type B, if I could just do this, do that, if I could quit doing this or start doing that, then I will really, really walk in obedience to the Lord. But as we talked about last week, and he's mentioned three times, he's hammered home, love is what births obedience. Love is what births obedience. So how does love grow? How does love happen, if you will, in your life? Love is not an emotion, though it is emotional at times. Love is a commitment. Love is a standard. Love is a declaration. Here's the math problem for love. Love is equal to time plus trust. Love is equal to time plus trust. That's why a lot of times you can go in the mall and you can see somebody holding hands, being real, real sweet. You can look at them, you say, you've been dating 3 months. Because it's all this emotional, right? Physical. But then you could see an older couple that's maybe been married 50 years and they're walking down the mall. And what my wife and I do when we see couples like that, and many of you are that, we look at them and say, let's be them. Let's be them. Let's be encouraged by that. Let's see that. We never look at a teenage couple that's been dating for 3 months and say, let's be them. Never happens. It doesn't happen. But we'll look at an older couple, but there isn't so much emotion. There isn't so much just wooing type of thing. But we'll look and we'll say, let's be them. Why? Because time plus trust, that's what truly equals love. So how does that work in our marriage? Time spent together with our spouses, date nights that we have, getting away from the children for a time to be able to go out to eat, getting a time that you go and spend time together, that you talk, just you and her, or you and him. Guys like to do things shoulder to shoulder. Girls like to do things knee to knee. They want to look at each other or look at the husband and talk like that. Well, guys, the more times we spend face to face, the more time they'll spend shoulder to shoulder. Ladies, the more time you spend shoulder to shoulder, going to that sporting event you don't care about, the more you'll get time face to face. God has rigged it where love requires time. So then, doesn't it make perfect sense that the greatest assault upon our marriages and our relationship with God is what? Time. Wouldn't you love to have another hour in the day? Wouldn't you love to have another 10 hours in the week? If we had another 10 hours in the week, I'll tell you what, it'd be more blessing to you than if you got a 10% raise tomorrow. But we're assaulted in our time. Why are we assaulted in our time? We're assaulted in our time because, one, the enemy, two, our flesh, knows that if we'll quit spending time with God, then he'll pull us away from God. Not losing our salvation, that's not what I'm saying in the least. But losing our focus, and so lack of time slowly begins to erode relationships. The more you talk, the more you talk. The less you talk, the less you talk. The more time you spend together, the more time you spend together. The less time you spend together, the less time you spend together. It's an easy formula. So love is time plus trust. Now think about this, obviously, in human relationships. Isn't that true in our families? Isn't that true in our friendships? Now let's take it, let's look at it in our relationship with God. Isn't that true with our relationship with God? The more time we spend with God, the more trust we have in God, the more we love God. So what happens? The more we love God, this verse is saying to us in verse 15, verse 21, verse 23, it's saying the more you love me, if you love me, then you're going to obey me. So the goal is this, hear it, please hear it. We've missed this in our churches. The goal is to fall in love with Christ. And if you fall in love with Jesus, everything else will take care of itself. You won't have to have a checklist. You will love Jesus and you will want to obey him. It's the new covenant. It's new desires. It's the Holy Spirit living in your life. Time with God. Trust in God. The more time you spend, the more trust will be given. The more time you spend, the more trust you will be given, because you will find that you'll get to know who God is. And when you know who God is, more and more you grow in that, you'll go, well, why wouldn't I trust you? Why wouldn't I allow you to do these great things? Some of our prayers are an attempt to remove our trust, aren't they? Lord, give us a great day today. Do everything today that will prevent me from actually having to trust in you, God. If you could smooth out every single problem so that there's absolutely no reason I actually need God today, that's my prayer request. That's not what God wants us to do. I heard a speaker talking about, he was praying with some parents that were going on, their kids were going on a mission trip. The parents began to pray for these kids at the airport. And he left and his son said to him, he said, Dad, they removed every reason you go on a mission trip. Lord, let the beds be soft. God, let the pillows be right. Don't let there be any delay in anything that they go. Always go before them. Let them like the food. Part of great mission trips is not liking the food. It's not liking your pillow. It's having too hard of a bed. It's staying in a place that's not as clean as what you're used to. Why? Because now you go, God, I don't need those things. I need you. And time and trust develops love, and love then develops obedience. So let's take it all the way back. Are you spending time and are you trusting God? And if you're not spending time and you're not trusting God, you're not going to fall in love with God, and then you're not going to obey God. And that's where he begins this whole thing about the Holy Spirit. And where we're heading is John 15, which says, abide in me, rest in me, connect with me. How? Through the Holy Spirit. So pneumatology 101 is this, fall in love with God. And when you fall in love with God, the Holy Spirit will do his work in your life. And the Holy Spirit will be your catalyst for obedience. It'll be your strength for trust. It'll be everything that you need. So you say, I've got the Holy Spirit. I don't need a soft pillow. I've got the Holy Spirit. I can walk through these problems. I've got the Holy Spirit. So I can trust God in this because God lives in me. That's why he begins last week and this week was saying, if you love me, you'll obey me. You'll obey my commands. He's saying, I want to do this. Here's the deal. Love and obedience will bring deeper revelation in your life with the Lord. Love and obedience will bring a deeper revelation in your life with the Lord. It's not works, it's stewardship of what God's doing in you. It's the Holy Spirit coming through you. Now, when you have a deeper revelation about what God is doing, God will show you greater things. Now, let me just say a sentence. And I'm not saying this is, God can do whatever he wants, but here's how it usually works. God shows great things to deep people. God shows great things to deep people. But when we just bounce upon the surface in our time as, dear Lord, give me a parking spot. Dear Lord, help me with this. Dear Lord, this. I mean, it's just bouncing along the surface. We never discover the depths of the Lord. Deep calls to deep. And so if we get about time and we get about trust and we get about loving God, then what happens is then God begins to show you deeper things and greater things. So now you're walking out in deeper love and greater obedience. And the Holy Spirit has got more strength in your life. Now, we went to Laredo this past week for a mission trip with the deacons, and it was an amazing, amazing time. I was there as well, obviously, and so we fixed these houses. I was in the sheetrocking crew, so I sheetrocked a bedroom of this house. That this whole bedroom was probably just, I mean, not even the size of part of this platform hardly, and these two little kids were going to be in there, and met the mom, single mom, and all these little kids, and one of them was helping, and I was practicing my Spanish. It was a great time, so I was sheetrocking and doing, because sheetrocking, you know, you just cut it and drill it and paste it, and that's it. So I had that thing down, and so we were going at it, and it was a great time. And then we had a time where we were going to feed the community, so we had hot dogs and candy and lemonade, and all these kids come out, and then I'm going to speak to them, and Stephen's going to lead worship. And so we got there, and they had a special time we didn't realize was happening, but right across from the house that we were helping with was a big double-wide trailer that was going to become the community center. And this, if any place needed a community center, this place needed it. As Stephen said earlier in the service here at the Loop, that they didn't have running water. I asked this one lady, I said, well, when did you get running water? They just got it. She said, we haven't had it for 30 years. I couldn't believe this was America. I mean, it was like, wait a minute, I know the border's closed, but you're on this. This is wild. A truck would come and fill up a barrel, and then they would take the barrel and they'd siphon it up to like this tank above the house, and that would just run. We'd just use gravity. And so we're giving these kids, you know, as many hot dogs as they want. We built a basketball goal for them, so they're playing basketball. I mean, that was a big deal. So we were having fun. So we walk across the street, and it's a groundbreaking ceremony for this community center. And this pastor and wife are there, Luis and Lucy was her name. And I mean, you want to talk about passion. We had the groundbreaking ceremony there, and I got a couple pictures I just want to show you. This is Lucy and her husband in the red shirt to the left. That's them digging there, the groundbreaking. That's the double wide there, and then we've got the next picture. This is during the praise time, so we're doing praise and worship there, and so they're singing. Stephen's playing the guitar, and then the next picture is me there with Lucy and just smiling. On the other side of that fence behind me is a goat. It's a couple goats and a horse, okay? So it's not your typical worship environment, but hey, I brought my Bible and we're ready to go. So we had a great time. When we were there and she was digging that ground up and she was flipping that over, I was amazed by watching the Holy Spirit's calling and obedience in her life. She was flipping dirt. And she was, I was standing right next to her. She was saying, may missionaries come from this place. May doctors come from this place. May lawyers come from this place, because they're going to be in there to teach them how to read and write. I mean, all those sorts of things. And she's flipping it, and I'm watching love birth into obedience. There was another couple there that was from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And they moved down to Laredo because they felt like God was calling them. And there they were. And I could pick them out because they look like most of us. And so I was like, hello. So we talked a little bit. So what are y'all doing here? We just feel like, so they joined this church, this Hispanic church, so that they can minister in this barrio, basically, in this way. And I watched the Holy Spirit birthing love, birthing into obedience. They loved God. And God called them, and they were there. And I'm telling you, it was awesome to watch. And there's a little bit of me that was jealous as I watched. So inspiring. So wonderful. And you just went, that's right. Love births obedience. If God calls you to the neighborhoods that aren't like your neighborhoods, go. Go. If God calls you across to the next cubicle, listen to the Holy Spirit and go. Watch what God can do when you fall in love with Jesus. And when you fall in love with Jesus, then God just begins to do things. You can minister to rich, you can minister to poor, you can minister to people with 18 bathrooms, you can minister with 18 people to one bathroom. It doesn't matter. It's saying, God, I want you to do this. Now, when that happens, watch what happens next, what the Holy Spirit does. Look at what happens in verse 25. All of this I have spoken while still with you. Okay, what's he saying? He's saying love and obedience. But the counselor, isn't that a great word? Counselor, advocate. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. If you underline in your Bibles, I want you to underline, teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Just underline that whole rest of that sentence. The Holy Spirit reminds us of truth. The Holy Spirit reminds us of truth. He teaches us all things, so hopefully even right now, the Holy Spirit of God is using the Word of God to teach you about the Word of God, so you're learning, you're hearing. So he's a teacher, but he's a reminder as well. The Holy Spirit reminds us of truth. Have you ever been in a situation where you're about to say something and something in you goes, don't say it? That is the Holy Spirit telling you to be quiet, is what that is. And then what do? At some points, not every time hopefully, but at some points you hear, don't say it, and you say it. How does it usually go after you said it? Then at that point you think, why did I say that? And the Holy Spirit goes, that's the same thing I'm asking you, because I told you not to say it. So a lot of our problems would be solved if this would happen. If we would just not say things when we sense the Holy Spirit telling us not to say things. Abraham Lincoln put it like this: better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and to remove all doubt. Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and to remove all doubt. We say things and our mouth is moving before our mind is engaged. We say things before our spirit is engaged. And we get ourselves in trouble. And there's a great victory. Celebrate this victory. When you're going to say something, and then the Holy Spirit reminds you, don't say it, and you don't say it. Just kind of slap high fives with the Holy Spirit at that point in your heart. Just, yeah, I didn't say it. That's good. That's a step for me. That's good. It's great. The Holy Spirit will remind you. He'll remind you. He'll say, you know what? Let me remind you how much you have and somebody else doesn't. So give. Let me remind you of how many things that you could have to minister in this time. So minister. Let me remind you that somebody shared Jesus with you. So let me remind you to share with somebody else. He reminds us of truth. He reveals things to us. He reminds us of them. Now here's the thing. Now watch how we're putting this all together. Do you remember love is time and trust put together? So we spend time with God, we trust God. Now, the more time you spend with God, watch, the more things the Holy Spirit has use of reminding you of. The more God teaches you, the more the Holy Spirit can remind you. So you can look back and you can say, I've seen God do this before. I've seen him provide employees. I've seen him provide income. I've seen him provide miracles. I've seen him provide safety. I've seen all of these things through love, trust, time. Now I can be reminded of them. Here's the deal. We often want to be reminded of things we know nothing of. We often want to be reminded of things we know nothing of. The best way to get reminded is to first get taught. So where does he begin with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit will teach you all these things. And then he will remind you of all these things. Sit under the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Sit under the teaching of the Word of God. Sit under the teaching of the preaching of the Word of God, the singing of the Word of God. And when you sit under the teaching, then you will have a great resource to be reminded of. Remember when I first finished the Bible for the first time that I'd read it all the way through, I was so excited. You know what I was excited about? Every bit of Scripture had gone through my eyes and my head and my heart. And in my mind, that went, God has the entire Bible to remind me of. And that wasn't like, oh, no, God has the entire Bible to remind me of. I'm in trouble now. No, it was great. He can pull something out of Leviticus. He can pull something out of Exodus. He can pull something out of Revelation. It doesn't mean I memorize the whole thing, but I go, you know what? There was a story once. Where is that story? And that story can fit right with where I'm going, right with what's happening. I wish I could tell you, and we could just have a little red light that would ding over the top of my head when I'm up here preaching to y'all, and I get reminded of a scripture, get reminded of a story, or get reminded of a truth. Be like, bing, 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 bing. Now, what is that from? Because I don't prepare, and I just trust that God will give it to me in the end? No. It's because I spent hours preparing. And the more you're prepared, the better you'll be reminded. The more you practice, the more you're ready for the play. The more you hit off the driving range, the better your drives are going to get. So he says, I want to remind you and I want to teach you. That's why we come to church. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we teach our children. What if our children begin hearing Scripture already as kids? Well, they're ahead of the game, aren't they? And hearing those things. And we hear these things to go. But here's the problem, and it's in me too. It's in me too. All of us want to be fit. None of us want to go to the gym. Right? Everybody wants to live to 80, but everybody wants to eat nachos once a week. Everybody wants to be financially secure, but nobody wants to save. It's just, it's human nature, isn't it? We want something out here, but we don't do what it takes to get something. Here's the great thing about it. If you want to walk with God, surrender. And as you surrender and you fall in love with Him, it's not your works and your effort, but what He'll do is He'll put principles in your life and He'll teach you and you'll begin to walk things out. And great things are shown to deep people. And so you become a person of depth. And the person of depth is better about their health. The person of depth is better about their finances. The person of depth is better about the principles in their family. Doesn't mean everything goes right, but it means we seek first His kingdom and righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto us. Now let me show you this reminding of the scripture. Let me show you in Luke chapter 15, verse 17. We're going to put it on the screen so you can read it on the screen if you want to, or turn in your Bibles. This is the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. You know this story, most of you. A son goes off, he takes his parents' wages, his dad's wages, and he goes off and he parties and squanders it all. And then we get to this point where it says this in verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death." You know what that is? I remember something. I will set out and go back to my father, and I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned. I remember my sin. I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men." So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. How did the prodigal come home? Parents of prodigals, please hear this, because your heart's breaking and you need to hear this. The prodigal was reminded of the goodness of his parents and his God. The prodigal was reminded. So when we teach our children things, does it mean that they're going to never sin? No, they're going to sin. God's children walk away from Him. Our children at times will walk away from us. We're not as good of parents as God is, and yet He can't keep obedience with all His kids. And so our kids are going to be disobedient too. But if we're raising them in these ways and teaching them these things, there's going to be a voice in their mind and in their heart and their spirit and their soul that's going to say, "I don't need to do this. I need to be reminded of what is true." The prodigal son is reminded. So here it is. Prodigal parent or kid praying for your prodigal parent. Might be a parent praying for the kid. Might be a kid praying for the parent. Pray for the Holy Spirit to bring to their mind remembrance. Just pray, "God, would you make them remember verses of Scripture? God, would you make them remember how great it is to be in the house of the Lord? God, would you cause them to remember how good life can be with you and how strugglesome, yes, but you could still take them through this. Bring remembrance." And here's what will happen. They will be doing wrong and they will not be able to shake the fact that they know it's wrong. And then the kindness of God will bring them to repentance because they'll see the love that they want to have for God. Pray that the love for God bubbles up in their life. So what happened with the prodigal son? A love came back, or maybe an acknowledgement of food actually first. "I got better food going on at my mom and dad's house." And then he had the love of the father running and the remembrance. And what are our two words for today? Love and remembrance. Say that again with me. Love and remembrance. In downtown, say it in the chapel too. Love and remembrance. He remembered and he was embraced by the love of his father. What an amazing thing. The Holy Spirit, as we begin to wrap up, indwells believers and he'll never leave you. And when he lives inside of you, what happens is this. If you follow his leading, you'll fall in love with him. And as you fall in love with God, you fall in love with Jesus, you fall in love with the Holy Spirit, obedience will take care of itself. It's not willpower. It's not unction. It's the love of Christ compels us. That's new thinking for some of us. We've been checking boxes for so many years. Obedience doesn't necessarily bring love. Love will bring obedience. And so when we love God, we become obedient to God. So now we're remembering the goodness of God. He's teaching us things. And as he's teaching us things, we're walking them out. That's pneumatology. That's the understanding of how the Holy Spirit works in your life. So this week, he's going to bring to mind remembrances for you. He's going to teach you. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. And God will lead you. Close with this illustration. We had a remembrance moment last week. Do you remember? Last week, I was used by the Holy Spirit to remind those of you that God had spoken to your heart to be a part of the Adoption Legacy Scholarship, that we were putting together a scholarship, and our goal was $100,000 that we were going to put together to have a scholarship to help people adopt children, because it's important what we're against. Yes, it is. We should stand against abortion, no question about it. We are against that. But we're also for adoption. And you'll find with the things of God and the things of the world, a lot of times what we're against, there's another side of what we're for. And so we could say, yes, we're against this, but we're also for this. And so there was a time of remembrance. Do you remember that? We had $87,000 out of $100,000 had come in, and we had not reached our goal. And I said this. I said, I think that there's $13,000 out there that God spoke to your heart, and you just forgot. That's it. That's it. Was it that you were against anything? Was it you weren't for something? You just forgot. That's what happened. You went to sleep. You woke up the next day, and you just went on. And so I was hopefully an agent of the Holy Spirit to just remind you, oh, yeah, that was last week. I was supposed to do something about that. So what we do with this loan, and then I'm going to tell you the amount. We take some of it, and it's given in interest-free loans. There's some folks that they can handle an adoption, but they just can't handle it now. So they're going to pay it back, and that's what they want to do. So that's great, because that means the money goes out, and it comes right back in. It goes right, you know, it just keeps circling around. You bankers in the room, you understand that. So interest-free loan, you might not understand, but if a loan, you do understand. So we give an interest-free loan. We're a little different, I understand, but that's okay. Everybody's got to make their money somewhere, so that's not our deal. So interest-free loan. So it goes out, and then it gets paid back. Then other folks, they're just not able to pay that back. That's cool, too. No problem. Well, that's no big deal. Then we're going to scholarship. We're going to be able to help in those ways, or maybe a matching scholarship. If you bring this, and we'll do that. You know, just trying to get it in there, get it all going. So the money's going to keep going. So the Holy Spirit, I really want you to hear that. Not the pastor. The Holy Spirit reminded the church, oh, yeah, we went from $87,000, okay, just follow me on this progression, then I'm going to give you a moment where you're going to celebrate, okay, because we met our goal far beyond. Within 24 hours, I got a text on Monday at lunch, so basically 24 hours, that we had gone from $87,000 to $131,000. Whoa. Then I said, well, this is going to be great. It's only Monday. So then I checked in on Wednesday. We had gone from Wednesday from $131,000. We had gone to about $150,000. Amazing. We're not done yet. Go ahead. Clap again. $151,000 still good. There you go. Downtown, clap away. Chapel, clap away. Till finally, as of Friday, okay, some of y'all are like, I forgot again this week. That's cool. That's okay. This thing's wide open. This is wide open. So finally, by the end of business day, Friday, by the close of the day, $160,000. Now, is that amazing? Let's give the Lord a hand for that. Now, what's the takeaway from that? Do you see the power? We think over 50 families will be affected by this. What we're going to do is as these kids begin to be adopted, we're going to just have before the services on the screens, this is such and such family with such and such kid. Just let you see that. And you'll just come in. We'll just all cry together. It'd be awesome. See if we can get them all on stage in a year or something. I mean, it'd be great. What happened? The church was reminded by the Holy Spirit of what God wanted to do. So we sit back and we go, it's awesome. It's great. Isn't that great? Isn't it great, to wrap it up, to let the wild goose lead you? Let him speak. I close with this quote. It says this by Mark Batterson. The wild goose will show up in wild places at wild times, and he will take you to places you never imagined, going by paths you didn't even know existed. If you're open to him, conceiving these God-ordained passions in your heart, then he'll lead you. But once that passion is conceived in your heart, you need to do something about it. So in Laredo, there's a lady and a husband flipping dirt at a mobile home site to become a community center. In Houston, there's a church saying, we believe in adoption, in orphan care, and foster care, and all those things, and we want to be a part of it. And when that happens, we move forward. We move forward. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Fall in love with Jesus. And then be reminded of all that God has taught you. Just say yes.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.